So first of all, thanks to the organizers, to Frederica and Alex for giving me the opportunity to present my work here. I'm David Barral. I'm now a postdoc in the multimode quantum optics group with Nicolas Treps in the Laboratoire Cluster Brussels. But what I'm going to present here is the work I did in my previous postdoc at the C2N with Nadia Belabás, Kamel Ben-Sheikh, and Ariel Levinson. So I'm going to talk about two physical systems to generate quantum states that can be useful for quantum technologies. So this is my outline. I'm going to present at the beginning some tools in continuous variable quantum optics, and then I will move to integrated quantum photonics, and in particular, nonlinear waveguide arrays. And then I will, if I have the time, I think I should, I will introduce triple photon states. That is like a well-known, well-known in the past, theoretically introduced a source of non-Gaussian states, but the last year was demonstrated experimentally. So the tools, well, light is an electromagnetic wave, so it obeys the Maxwell equations. And in optics, we use complex vector fields to represent the light. The optical modes, here FG, are orthonormal solutions to the Maxwell equations, and they can be used as bases to encode the light. So here are some examples of this kind of modes, optical modes, like we can have monochromatic plane waves, laser resonator modes in lasers, or fiber modes. With the modes, we can write any vector field in terms of the modes, and we are going to have these complex coefficients. And we can write this as in vector form in a Hilbert space. So we can encode of any wave, we can encode any wave in a given basis. So for example, this arbitrary optical field can be written in Hermite-Gaussian in the Hermite-Gaussian basis, like this vector. But there is no preferent, let's say, basis. You can go from one basis to other basis through unitary transformations. So if your optical field, you can write it in one basis, for example, in the Hermite-Gaussian modes like this, and in other different bases in a different way. But in continuous variable quantum optics, we are more, instead of the complex coefficients, we are interested in the real parts. So we rewrite the complex coefficients in the quadratures of the field. This is the amplitude quadrature, and this is going to be the phase quadrature. In the same way, we have the same as before. Different bases, we use unitary transformations. And here we are going to encode instead of n elements and 2n elements, because you are going to have the amplitudes and the phase quadratures. And in this case, the transformations are going to be in a symplectic space. So if we focus in a single mode, for example, of a laser field, this is going to be a single mode, and you have the oscillation, you can measure at different times your optical field, and you will have in the phase space different points for the quadrature. If you decrease the power of your laser, you will see that you will start to see some kind of noise or fuzziness like this. And if you totally switch off your laser, still you will measure some electrical fields. And this, if you go with a lens, what is the... I don't see it. Oh, well. I don't know why I don't see the... So this noise that you see is not an artifact of your measurement device. It's due to the quantum nature of light. You can see that the noise has a Gaussian distribution in both quadratures, and this kind of effect is not accounted for in classical physics. So we need quantum theory to explain it. So you need to quantize the optical fields to get this into account. So if you quantize the complex values, you will have annihilation operators that fulfill commutation relationships. And if you quantize in the symplectic space, you will have quantized quadratures that also have this kind of commutation relationships. So what is the direct consequence of quantization is the Heisenberg uncertainty relationships. And this gives a lower bound for the product of the variance of the two quadratures. So the vacuum saturates this bound. I don't know why, I don't see. Saturates this bound, and the noise is symmetric for both quadratures. Okay. Is that again? Yeah, I think the simulation I use is too heavy to produce this the noise, and with my Mac works, but here I don't know. So I need to move to the next one.
Do you have your laptop?
Yes. But I think it's the last one, the last heavy simulator, so it should work.
We can do that at the end.
Okay, yeah. Well, I continue. So there exist other preparations of light, other states, that also saturate this bound. And the noise is asymmetric, so you will have different distributions in each part. The Wigner function is the equivalent in continuous variables to the density matrix, and all the information about the state is encoded here. The marginals are the probability distributions of each quadrature. If the state is Gaussian, has a Gaussian probability distributions, it's totally determined by fully characterized by the second order moments of the probability distributions that are the mean and the covariance matrix. The mean here we are not going to take into account because we are going to use vacuum, squeeze vacuum, and this kind of states. But the covariance matrix is going to be really important because it's like a list of the noises of your state. So in the diagonal, you are going to have the variance in each mode, and out of the diagonal, you will have correlations. But there are other states in quantum optics that are not non-Gaussian and are really interesting. These states are characterized by having a Wigner function, having negativities in the Wigner function, and it has been demonstrated that for advantage in quantum computation, you need a Wigner negativity. These states in general in quantum optics are generated by the gaussification. It's like adding or subtracting photons. And I'm going to show at the end of the talk like a new way of generate deterministically non-Gaussian states. So how can we generate quantum states? We use nonlinear media. Nonlinear media are frequency mixers. You input one frequency and you can get other beams at different frequencies. If you mix three waves, you are going with chi2 materials. You are going to mix three waves. With chi3 materials, four waves. And these are second harmonic generation and spontaneous parametric conversion are the most typical of in Chi2 materials. And in Chi3, four-wave mixing or third harmonic generation. And we are going to talk about three-photon down conversion also at the end of the talk. And this, to have this mixing of frequencies, you need energy conservation, but also phase matching of the waves. The waves need to go at the same velocity inside the crystal. It's momentum conservation. And here an example of in second harmonic generation that when you have a perfect phase matching, the energy from one wave can go to the other, and you can efficiently generate the other, in this case the orange. And when you don't have a good phase matching, you can have at the beginning a generation, but inside the crystal, the light of the second field is going to come back to the pump. So it's not going to be efficient. So you need a phase matching, and this phase matching in crystals can be obtained by birefringence or Pauling denonlinearity. And for a totally quantum effect, this is spontaneous parametric non-conversion. So you can see that in this case, you have vacuum in one mode, and in the other you pump, and inside the crystal, photons from your pump mode will be transferred to the other mode, generating the squeezing. And when you get out of the nonlinear crystal, this squeezing will, in time, will beat. So if you compare the noise in some planes of the squeeze light with a vacuum state, you will see that you have less noise than the vacuum. And how we can measure this squeeze light? We use balance of modane detectors. That is a projective measurement. In balance of modane detectors, the signal that you want to measure is mixed with a strong laser field in a symmetric beam splitter. And you put a piezo with a relative phase to control the phase between the two. Here, the both beam overlap, and they go to the two photodiodes. You subtract the current, and this current is proportional to the quadrature at a given phase. So if you connect this to your oscilloscope, you will see, depending on the relative phase of the two, something like this. This is a measurement of your signal. If you connect it to a spectrum analyzer, the spectrum analyzer measures the power, is the square of this, so it's equivalent to the noise, directly to the noise. So what you have is like, if you don't put the signal, you will have this level of noise that is independent of the phase. And if you input the signal, you will have noise squeezing and anti-squeezing. So you will have less noise than the shot noise. Squeezing is the first resource of for continuous variable quantum information, and the second is entanglement. Entanglement can be generated with nonlinear crystals, and the output, the squeeze light, you can you mix it in a beam splitter, and then you check what happens in these two. If you put this light in each one in an oscilloscope, and you have a fixed phase reference, you will see that if you measure the phase quadrature of each one, they are correlated. And you can plot the values here. So if you check one against the other, you will have correlation. In the amplitude one, you will have anticorrelation. So these are quantum correlations. And if you input the values that you get, you calculate the covariance from these correlations, and you input in a separability criterion, you will see that they are entangled. Here, the separability criterion, the 4 is the threshold of a separable state. And it's like 4 units of noise. It's normalized. Why continuous variable quantum? Why to use continuous variable? Continuous variables. The reasons are that we have unconditional resources. that are squeezed and entangled states, so we can generate them on demand. It's multimode. We can codify the quantum states in different degrees of freedom, like frequency, space, polarization, spatial. It's easy to manipulate. We can manipulate it with beam splitters, phase shifters, and this kind of stuff. And the detectors are highly efficient. You can get detectors with a 99% efficient. They work at room temperature, and they are really cheap. And well, in the last years, there were like nice demonstrations using continuous variables. So now I move to what is my the main part of the talk, that is the nonlinear waveguide arrays. So in integrated optics, we use waveguides. And the waveguides basically are a medium with a higher refractive index embedded between media with a lower refractive index. So the light is going to propagate along it. And here you have, well, you can find the light in the order of the wavelength or lower. And you are going to have propagation modes. They are going to propagate. So you can encode your quantum states in the propagation modes. Again, you can use different degrees of freedom in this to codify the light in the waveguides, like frequency, spatial, like in what waveguide you have the light, or polarization. So you can route and process the information with this kind of devices. And for us, it's really important that you have highly efficient nonlinear interactions, much higher than in free space, because in waveguides, you have a higher overlap of the modes of your pump and the light that you want to amplify overlap much better. So with less energy, you have the same efficiency. For example, between bulk optics and nano waveguides, you can have an efficiency 1 million higher. So in quantum integrated optics, we want to pass from these kind of setups to something like this. And the reasons are that they are scalable, they are stable, you can generate quantum states on chip, you can manipulate them with mass tender interferometers, with the electro-optic effect or thermo-optic effect in the chip. You can manipulate if the light goes in one way or the other, and you can even put detectors. I mean, this is something real. There are quantum computing companies doing stuff in quantum integrated optics. Basically, the two bigger, C-Quantum in California, this is the startup of the group of Bristol, Jeremy O'Brien, and Xanadu in Toronto. And they have different approach, one discrete variables, the other continuous. But you can, in this reference, you have the ideas they have to get a fault-tolerant quantum computer in the close future. In pure continuous variables, let's say we still are a bit far of that, and the two last breakthroughs, let's say, is the generation of 6 dB of squeezing in a single waveguide, and the entanglement of two modes on chip. This was till last year that the company that I talked about before, Xanadu, came up with this 8 continuous variable qubit processor that basically is made by a bunch of squeezers where you generate squeeze light, and then interferometers that you can program. You can modify the characteristics, so you can perform any unitary in this. So, but they are still not, they have, this material has losses, so they produce, if I remember well, it's like something like 4 dB of squeezing in on chip, but in the measurement stage they only measure 1 dB. So instead they use single photon detectors, and they use this for making Gaussian boson sampling and this kind of stuff. But the idea is always the same: is you generate the states, and then with interferometers you make the unitaries and you detect. So our point is like, okay, what if we substitute the squeezers plus interferometer system by a fixed transformation and pump and detection shaping? So our idea, and this is more or less our, the experiment we would like to do, is we shape the pump with attenuators and phase shifters, everything in fiber, and we generate a local, we shape the local oscillator, so we can detect in different bases the states that are generated in a monolithic device that in our case is the array of nonlinear waveguides. And the array of nonlinear waveguides are simply waveguides put close. They are nonlinear. Well, the material is nonlinear, and you have PPL, periodically polling to generate the phase matching. And here you can generate a spontaneous parametric down conversion. So you can pump in different waveguides, and you will have different outputs. What I'm going to show, it's like the theory about this. We are going to study only the generate case. That is when you generate only one frequency. But in general, you could have you generate different frequencies. So the idea is to generate the squeezing and coupling of light between the waveguides at the same time. So this would be like a kind of complex integrated analog of squeezers and beam splitters. We will have two parameters, mainly two parameters to engineer the quantum states. One is the coupling between the waveguides, and this is engineered with the distance between the waveguides, and the other is the nonlinearity in each waveguide that we can select it depending on the power of the pump that you put in each waveguide. Here I'm showing only pumping one waveguide. And what is important is that the pumps at this wavelength, they are not coupled. If you put the light here, at this wavelength, it's going to go through. But the signals that are going to be produced by SPDC, they are going to be coupled. So they are going to spread between the different waveguides. And you can measure the entanglement between the different outputs with balanced homogeneous detectors. So the system has two elements. One is the nonlinear coupling. So which waveguide you have a nonlinearity. We are going to consider the undepleted approximation. So you have this kind of equation for this process. And the other is going to be the coupling. So if you have an array of waveguides put together, there is evanescent coupling. It's like an optical tunnel effect. The light goes from one waveguide, jumps to the others. And this is the equation that rules the linear coupling. So I'm going to stop now a second in a linear array of waveguides. So the modes in a linear array of waveguides, they are like coupled harmonic oscillators. So you are going to have normal modes. These normal modes in optics, we call them super modes. So you can make a change of basis from the individual modes to the super modes. So these normal modes are obtained by an eigenvalue equation, that is this. And these m are going to be the, let's say, the coefficients of these modes. And lambda is the propagation constant of each normal mode or linear supermode that we call. So the linear supermodes are the eigenmodes of the linear system, that they are invariant along propagation. They propagate like if they were independent. Depending on the profile that you have in the coupling, so the distance between the waveguides, you are going to have different different supermodes. So if the distance is the same between all the waveguides, you are going to have the previous equation is going to be a Chebyshev equation, and you are going to have a Chebyshev supermodes. So any coupling is going to have an orthogonal family of normal modes. And they propagate with different propagation constants. And this is another family with a different distance between the waveguides. You have these are called Glover-Fock supermodes. So you will have different different family. So now we come back to the full nonlinear system where you have the linear coupling and the nonlinearity in each waveguide. If we apply a change of basis to the linear supermode, to the supermode basis that we see before, we're going to have this equation that couple, here we see that each linear supermode is coupled with all the other supermodes through this matrix. And this matrix is what we call the joint spatial supermode distribution that, is the equivalent to the joint spectral distribution in frequency, if you have a some idea. So this matrix depends on the pump amplitude profile, on the pump phase profile, on the coupling profile, and on the propagation distance. So depending on the different on setting these things, you are going to have a different matrix, and you are going to have a different solution, let's say, for the system. And what is very nice of this is, like, in the waveguide arrays, we have a few orthonormality properties. Apart from the normal orthonormality property, we have others. For example, if you put in this sum over G, this eta G and this phi G, if they are constants, they get out of the sumatory, and you can apply this orthonormality property here, and you will put this delta k prime here. So this is going to make that each mode is coupled with itself. And the thing is that with this, using this, we can have analytical solutions for any number of waveguides. You will have an analytical solution for 2 or for 1 million. They will work. So with this, we can engineer some cases. So this is an example. When you pump all the waveguides with the same power and the same phase, you have analytical solutions in this basis. And we can calculate the squeezing of each supermode. And the thing is that you have the analytical solutions for the supermodes, but if you come back to the individual mode basis, if you make the inverse transformation, you have analytical solutions for individual modes. So you will know what happens in each individual mode. So in mode 1, mode 2, mode 3, mode 4, instead of the super mode. But the system is has more things to show us. Apart from the equations in the linear supermode basis, you can apply a second diagonalization. You can diagonalize the full system, the full nonlinear system. So if you apply another change of basis with this transform that fulfills this, you will have independent supermodes. So this is a new basis with where you have independent supermodes, and each one is a squeeze. So maybe this is easy to see it in the symplectic space. In continuous variables, we have a theorem that is the Bloch-Messiah decomposition that says that any symplectic matrix can be decomposed in a diagonal positive matrix and two orthogonal matrices. So this means that any complex system made by phase shifters, beam splitters, squeezers, whatever, can be is equivalent to one interferometer, one set of independent squeezers, and another interferometer. So if you apply this transformation in our case and take into account that when you In SPDC, the initial state is vacuum. If you apply an vacuum interferometer, it's going to give you vacuum. So at the end, the system is equivalent. What happens in the nonlinear waveguide array is equivalent to have squeezing on the vacuum and then put it in an interferometer. So at the end, the nonlinear waveguide array is doing the same as what we saw of the Shanadu setup, like with the squeezers and interferometer. The only problem is that in general we can't control this interferometer. It's going to depend on the different settings of the. For each setting, you are going to have a different interferometer. And you can see this in the with covariance matrices. This is an example of a covariance matrix in the individual mode basis, and you can have the diagonal basis with the squeezing, and this is the transformation between two. And from this, from the diagonalization of this matrix, you can get the shape of what would be the eigen modes of this system, that are the nonlinear supermodes. They are independent, and they are squeezed. So if you were here yesterday in the talk of Paul, he talked about Paul Renard. What we are doing in the group of Nicola Treps, is using frequency combs. In frequency combs, you have a comb, a pulse of light, you generate a SPDC, and you measure with your local oscillator in each of these frequency bands. With this, we get a covariance matrix that we diagonalize, and we get frequency supermodes that are independent of squeeze. So this is exactly the same as I show you in the, this is in frequency, the equivalent of what I show you in the spatial domain. So there is a symmetry. So like to summarize, with nonlinear waveguide arrays, we have individual modes, linear supermodes and nonlinear supermodes. The definition is the single modes of the waveguides, the eigen modes of the linear system and the eigen modes of the nonlinear system. We have analytical solutions that scale for the linear supermodes, not for the others. The three are squeezed, but these are going to be maximally squeezed. These two are entangled, and these, by definition, are not entangled. You can access to these bases with independent local oscillators or with shaped local oscillators. And these ones you can distribute in, you can send in fibers to different places, but these two are delocalized. The modes are given in a lot of independent modes, individual modes, so you can't. In continuous variables, we know that we can make quantum computing with the transformations encoding a Hamiltonian. Any set of continuous variable Hamiltonians, including single mode Gaussian unitaries, two mode Gaussian unitaries, and at least one non Gaussian unitary is universal, and we can make a computation. So, in measurement based quantum computing, instead of making transformations on the input quantum state, what we do is we entangle it with an entangled state, or well, in this case it's only a squeezed state because we are going to make only one operation. And if you measure it in a given basis, this this operation is going to be transferred to the output. So you are teleporting the operation. Instead of applying the operation, you teleport it, and you will have it at the output. So if you this is a Fourier transform, if you make the inverse transformation at the end, you will have the operation that you wanted to do. And if you want to make sequence of transformations, you will need longer entangled states. So if you have with two states, you can do two operations. And for doing any single mode operation, like any universal in single mode, you need a linear cluster of four nodes. But in general, for doing any computation, you need a large 2D cluster states. So the point it was like, okay, can we generate cluster states with a waveguide array? And the answer is yes. In principle, yes. So the cluster states are the agent states of this linear combination of quadratures that are called nullifiers. The graph is encoded in the adjacency matrix. So the adjacency matrix is going to tell you what kind of graph you have. And if these nullifiers, if all the nullifiers that you get are the variances below the shot noise, you will have a cluster state. This is at least the experimentally is what we get. So what we check is like with a genetic algorithm, we check that if we could get this kind of clusters with feasible values, with changing the pump profile, the phase pump profile, or the local oscillator, and we found that we can produce these clusters. And the inverse problem is like okay, whatever I generate in my system, what graph it has, it's going to have a graph. And what we found is that if with the front with a flat pump profile, if you look here, numerically we found that you have a good cluster with an almost the same with a flat profile, like it's almost the same. So, but for this we have analytical solutions. So we check that if for high power, at any number of waveguides, you are going to generate, if you pump like this, a linear cluster of any number of modes. So, recently there were some breakthrough experiments about how to generate 2D clusters, and basically you have spatial modes generated in OPOs, and then with time multiplexing, you can generate large 2D clusters. So this is one idea we have, that maybe or linear clusters can be time multiplexed with time delays, and using beam splitters we could generate 2D cluster states. This is ongoing research, and these clusters that we get are in only one frequency, but in general when you generate a SPDC, you generate a broadband. So you are going to have signal and idler modes. So you could use the signal and idler to also add the spectral domain. So you could generate clusters in the spatial, in the temporal, and in the spectral domain. But well, we are still studying this this idea. What we found is that the system can generate other kind of nice states that, for example, multi-user quantum channel states that can be used for telecloning. Telecloning is like a teleportation, but that you send from one sender the signal to a few receivers. With our colleagues in Nice and Romania, we got from them some samples with 1, 2, 3, and 5 nonlinear waveguides coupled. Is this? And we did an experiment. This is the setup. Here is the sample inside here. Here the local oscillator, and here the balance homodyne detector. The waveguide is here. We pump here with. This was only to see if we could see a squeezing, at least in one waveguide. And when you generate the SPDC, is generated here. This is an oven because we need to control the temperature. And you get the SPDC generated here. And here is mixed with the local oscillator and set to the balance homodyne detector. And we make our own balance homodyne detectors. So we get that for single waveguides. We check also second harmonic generation and the spectra of the SPDC photons, and they were nice. But the squeezing was super low, really, really low. And we found that we were probably having another nonlinear effect in the waveguides that was destroying or squeezing. So we are waiting for the next generation of, well, the next postdoc will will wait for the next generation. But in the low power regime, we check the coupled waveguides, at least with two. Here you see when we couple, when we pump with red light, here is the sample. With fibers, well, inside this box, it's this is the typical experimental. This is to have a really not a phase changes in the. We did an interferometer with fiber that is inside here. And here is our the second version of the setup that you pump with fibers. You get the light from the fibers, and here you have the waveguide array. So this is similar to what we propose to do. And in the discrete variable regime we found that we can have noon states and twin photon states. And to finish, so this is my main my main project in the postdoc, but during the last year I participate also in a theoretical project about generating studying triple photon states. And triple photon states you can generate through three photon no conversion using this conservation energy in K3 materials with this mixing of waves. And when you have phase mismatch, you can generate, you have three processes. If it's fully degenerate, you will have only one frequency. So it's like the three photons are degenerate. The three photons that in partially degenerate, the three photons that you generate, two are in the same mode and one in the other. And if it's fully non-degenerate, you will have the three photons or the three waves in different modes. And this is equivalent to a GH zeta state. When you pump, when your pump is low, in the limit, you have this discrete variable state. But again, we are in continuous variables, not. In the 90s, these states were theoretically studied. So for the degenerate case, that is this one, it was studied that the Wigner function had a threefold symmetry. They had if you input vacuum in the state, they are not squeezed. Only if you apply a coherent state in the input, and of course you have and this is the most important thing, that you have negative values of the Wigner function. So here is negative. So this state is purely non-Gaussian. Us particularly studied the other case, the fully non-degenerate case, that is when you pump with one photon and you generate three photons in three modes. These states, they have no Gaussian correlations, are fully non-Gaussian, and you can see that if you check the higher order correlations, at higher order, you have correlations. So you have three mode, coskewness, that is the three order correlations, and co-kurtosis, the four order correlation. Well, we analyze this state, we calculated the Wigner functions in the marginal distributions and the difference between the number distribution of SPDC and the triple photon generation. And we calculated some Wigner negativity witnesses to demonstrate that it was this case was also has negativities. A few years before the previous paper, my supervisor at C2M, Kamel, he studied the entanglement properties of this kind of states. In the continuous variable regime, also, it's not discrete variables. And they found that they had only entanglement when you seed some of the modes. Seeding the modes means that you input a coherent state in the mold. So apart from, it's not like an spontaneous effect. It's like spontaneous. The other is, well, you need to put a coherent field in some of the modes. And with that, with Gaussian entanglement witnesses, you could see entanglement. But the fully spontaneous effect without seeding, you couldn't see entanglement. So in the last year, a few people work in this, and the group of Carlos Sabin in Madrid, they found entanglement witness for this kind of states. We also, along this year, we found another that we will publish soon. And also for the partially non-degenerate case, we found another way of measuring the entanglement. And to finish quickly, in the optical domain, till now we have never seen triple photon generation. There are some proposals, and in other cases, they studied different nonlinear effects. But since the nonlinear constant is very small, and it's very difficult to get phase matching of three waves, we never seen it. But last year in the microwave regime, a group was able to generate triple photon states with this Wigner function. And they saw the co-skewness, so these kind of correlations. They also found that they didn't have a covariance, so there were no Gaussian correlations. And they could even engineer the three different Hamiltonians. So we could see they saw the fully degenerate, partially, and what is this interesting? Because from this paper, the theoreticians start to work in this, and the group of Giulia Ferrini this year came up with a protocol to generate cubic phase states from triple photon states. And cubic phase states are, let's say that is the gate. Well, from cubic phase states, you can generate cubic phase gates, and this is the gate that we didn't have in continuous variables. So this is the non-Gaussian gate that still was missing. And they studied like different protocols to generate cubic phase states from the triple photon states. So to finish, only like pump shaping and the selection of suitable measurement bases enable the versatile generation of cluster states in the nonlinear waveguides array. The analytical solutions are a useful tool to understand what is happening in this physical system. And triple photon states is now a hot topic with interest in quantum optics because it's something fundamental, but also in the quantum computing community because you can make cubic phase gates. And this is my ex-group, Nadia, Kamel, and Ariel, for the bosses at C2M. Some part of the work with the clusters was done with Nicola, Mattia, and Valentina at LKB, and now I'm part of this group. In the experiments, Xavier Solinas from Polytechnic did for us the balance of modeling detectors, and the waveguides came from Nice and Romania, the nonlinear waveguides, and the triple photon, all the theory we did, it was with Da Thang from Xi'an Yantong University. And that's all. Thank you.